What is up, Rams fans, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and you can follow me at Cam DeSilva. Today, we'll be catching up on week one against the Raiders. Obviously, a nice win for the Rams to get the season started. We'll be previewing their week two game against the Cardinals, which takes place on Sunday at 4:05 Eastern. We'll be talking about some things that happened from the Raiders game, a couple of injuries, Mark Barron's status moving forward, kind of the status of the offensive line with Jamon Brown suspended and Austin Blythe playing so well. And then we'll talk about the Cardinals game coming up with the Rams having a chance to go 2-0 and grab a two-game lead over Arizona and possibly the rest of the division too, after the Seahawks and 49ers also lost in week one. So we'll get right into it, recap the game that was on Monday night against the Raiders. The Rams won that game 33-13. Really an easy victory for them. All week I kind of talked about this being a game where the Rams might start a little bit slow coming out of the gate with the starters missing the preseason. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, none of those guys played any snaps in the exhibition games this summer. So there was expected to be a little bit of rust, and there really was. They kind of got going in the second half. Jared Goff stepped it up. He played well in the second half, much better than he did in the first 30 minutes. So he kind of turned it around, got the offense going, and really put the pedal to the floor against the Raiders. So looking at his stats in the first half, he went 4-for-10, 6 incompletions, 40% completion rate, 60 yards, 1 touchdown, and no interceptions. And then the second half, he turned it around completely, went 14-for-23, 173 yards, and another touchdown. And really in the first half, that touchdown pass wasn't a pass at all. It was just kind of a tap to Todd Gurley, which was essentially a handoff as Gurley motioned into the backfield from out wide. Overall, a decent game for really struggled to get anything going. They were outscored by 13-10, outscored them 23-0 in the final 30 minutes. That was obviously capped off by Marcus Peters' pick six. He returned it 50 yards for a touchdown, did a little beast mode, crotch grab going into the end zone, so a little testament to his cousin, or a troll job, I'm not really sure, but he did say he did the beast mode after the game, so most likely just a little bit of a friendly jab from one cousin to the other. That made it 33-13 after the Rams were already up 13 points to really put a capper on what was a nice all-around game, especially in the second half. So as for the game itself, like I said, a tale of two halves. Gurley only got 4 carries in the first half, and then he came back with 16 in the second half. Finished with 108 yards. 23 was his longest rush of the game. Added another 33 yards and a touchdown through the air on 3 receptions. So another typical Todd Gurley game. 100 yards rushing, a few more catches with some additional yardage that way. So that's really what we've come to expect from him week in and week out. As far as the defense, it looked a little bit shaky early on. Aqib Talib went on NFL Network on Tuesday and even said that the Rams had to quote unquote freelance a little bit, because they didn't know what John Gruden was going to do. Being his first game in a decade, it's easy to kind of be uncertain about how he's going to attack the defense. You get a little bit questionable with, is his formation tendency to pass, to run the ball in that first game? And it's easy to see why the Rams struggled a little bit early on defense. But the Raiders had more than 50 yards total in the second half until a soft style of defense. So really a good performance by the defense. They only allowed a lot of which came in the final few minutes where it was garbage time. So really looking at the box score, it doesn't look like the Rams dominated by any means. The Raiders had and ran 4 more offensive plays. But really the biggest are through 3 interceptions, none of which were even remotely good throws. One went to John Johnson in the end zone. He was beat up a little bit by Jared Cook throughout the game. on this play. He tried to force a throw in there, underthrew him himself. The second one was just one of the worst throws I think I've ever seen by an NFL quarterback. Rams up the middle a little bit and floated one to Corey Littleton where no one was within five to interception for him. And then the final one was obviously Peters' pick six. So that was a good play, took advantage and returned it for a touchdown. Aaron Donald, Dominguez Sue, a lot of eyes on them. They didn't really. Sue finished with four tackles, no sacks. And tell the whole story. Donald really did have a sack after he beat the guard, Derek Carr's legs, but it was flagged for roughing the passer and called back. So no sack on that play. But he did have a good game. The Rams defensive line and the defense as a whole drew five holding calls on the Raiders. The Raiders were penalized 11 times for 150 yards total throughout the game. 10 of those came in the first half alone. So really that's kind of more indicative of how impactful the defensive line was with Donald, Sue, and Brockers, rather than just looking at the numbers where they only had one sack combined and that came from Brockers. It's difficult to really say how the two are going to mesh. I wouldn't really be worried about it at all, even though they didn't have any sacks together all season, and they gave them fits. They were forced to hold. They didn't really... It opened up things for Samson Ebukam on the outside. Although he didn't have a sack, he had three tackles for loss and looked really explosive off the edge. So that's kind of where things stand with the defensive front. In the secondary, I talked about Marcus Peters, that pick six. The Raiders wide receivers only had five catches for 43 yards. That's really a testament to how strong the secondary was outside of stopping Jared Cook, who had 180 yards. The leading wide receiver for the Raiders was Jordy Nelson, who caught three passes for 23 yards. So really no damage there. And Derek Carr finished with a passer rating of 62.8. And the only reason for that is because he threw it 40 times and had 303 yards. So really aired the ball out, took some chances, and the Rams made him pay and made the Raiders pay as a whole. So a really nice game from the defense. 13 points allowed, that's you're going to win a lot of games, especially with the offense that the Rams have, when you only allow fewer than two touchdowns. So nice, strong start from the defense. Wade Phillips made some good halftime adjustments after the Rams struggled a little bit early on, and they really got it together. So a nice game from them. And then the offense, just to touch on, Brandon Cooks was as good as advertised, caught five passes for 87 yards. Drew another couple defensive pass interference penalties where I think those went for another 87 yards. So strong debut for him, really everything you expected him to be with the speed going over the middle. He wasn't afraid to go up and catch passes with safeties and linebackers bearing down on him. So a nice game for him in his first start for the Rams. Cooper Kupp had a drop on a little bit of an underthrown ball by Jared Goff. Robert Woods only caught three of his nine targets, but he did have an impact in this game for 37 yards. And really, it was a strong second half from the offense. They got some help from the defense, getting them off the field quickly. But really a solid start for the Rams all around. When it comes to snap counts, these can often be really telling of what the coaching staff thinks of certain players. How they feel about playing them and giving them significant playing time. So just running through these real quick, Sam Shields didn't get onto the field. He didn't play a single snap on defense. Gerald Everett on offense only saw five snaps. Josh Reynolds only got two. So really the Rams were stuck in 11 personnel for the majority of the game. They really didn't give anyone else a chance. It was a starting 11 plus another four players in Gerald Everett, Malcolm Brown, Johnny Munt, and Josh Reynolds, who all played five or fewer snaps. So just about everything fell on the shoulders of Goff, Gurley, Kupp, Woods, Cooks, Tyler Higbee, that starting offensive line, and then Jared Goff, of course. On the defensive side, there was a little bit more of a variety. Five guys played the entire game. Littleton, Peters, John Johnson, Aqib Talib, and LaMarcus Joyner. Aaron Donald showed no signs of of rust or being ill-prepared for this game. He played 66 of the 74 defensive snaps, so that's 89%. Dominican Sue was close behind with 58 snaps. Samson Abukum had 57, and then Michael Brockers rotated in for 65% of the snaps. Marquis Christian had a nice game. John Johnson, a little bit of a break in that regard. But he also stepped in as a sub-package lineman is injured, gave Ramique Wilson a little bit of a break. So inside linebackers that saw any amount of time in the game. Most of it was that the Rams really have expected him to play all offseason. And he did a good job. He led the Rams with 13 tackles, had an interception. I think he had another pass defense to a few times where he was a little bit shaky in coverage, but really, you can't expect much more. Free agent is now stepping in as a starter for a defense that has a lot of talent. Grade from Alec Ogletree and Mark Barron to Ramique Wilson and Corey Littleton at linebacker. What I was a little bit surprised by was the few snaps that Matt Longacre played. He played the third fewest snaps of anyone who got on the field on defense. He only played 22 plays for the Rams. John Franklin Myers even had more at 25. Ethan Westbrooks had 14, and then Justin Lawler rotated in for one play. But Longacre, he played 5 special team snaps, so the Rams are comfortable giving him time there. But maybe he's not fully recovered from that biceps injury. He did undergo back surgery this offseason, so there are some questions there. But for a guy who the Rams really pegged as a starter from the time that they released or traded Robert Quinn and passed on Connor Barwin, it's a little bit strange to see him play so few snaps in the 2018 debut. I thought he would play a little bit more. Part of the reason for that is that Dominique Easley is transitioning to outside linebacker, which really tells you a lot about what the Rams think about him playing defensive tackle again in the NFL. I don't really see that being an option. And it also is telling of how confident they are in the outside linebackers that aren't named Abukum. Not a lot of confidence there. Really, it's probably going to be in a committee approach for the rest of the season. With Easley, Longacre, Justin Lawler will rotate in. Okoronkwo is on the PUP list, so he's going to be out for a little while. So there are question marks at outside linebacker. Those are some things that the Rams have to figure out. They didn't generate a whole lot of pressure off the edge. They did get to Derek Carr once, but that was a Michael Brockers sack. So they need to do better in that regard if they do want to take advantage of the one-on-one opportunities that having Donald and Sue are going to present them. So some work to do there. They'll get it ironed out. They did look better in the second half, but that's kind of where they stand as far as a pass rush goes. On the injury front, really only two injuries to speak of coming out of this one. Pharaoh Cooper has a serious ankle sprain. That's how Sean McVay described it on Tuesday. And then Mike Thomas has a groin injury. Those might not seem like big injuries for the Rams, but considering the roles that they play, it's notable. Pharaoh Cooper is obviously their top punt and kick returner. He was an all-pro last season, and now they're going to be without him for a minimum of at least a few weeks, Sean McVay said. So that's a pretty significant loss. He had an ankle injury that he suffered, I think, on his final punt return of the game. And then Cooper Kupp came in and returned the last one. So he looks like he might be the immediate replacement for now, until Cooper can return. It's not even certain that he is going to be able to return this season, because Sean McVay said that he might have to undergo surgery. There aren't many surgeries on ankles that really permit a player to return for that season. And really, if he does have to undergo surgery, it's not a good sign for the Rams at all, because that's going to leave them without their top punt and kick returner for the rest of the season, probably, which is not good news. Talking about a couple of replacements, there are some options out there. Players are being waived and traded and signed throughout the season, so there is a chance that the Rams go out and acquire someone, possibly in a trade I'm not looking at you, Tavon Austin. I don't think you're an option. But the Rams could explore kind of the trade market and free agent options out there. And on Wednesday, I posted something about four potential replacements for Cooper and Mike Thomas, who Sean McVay said are their top two kick returners, which means they're going to have to find someone to replace them. So the four guys that I mentioned were JoJo Natson, Justin Davis, Cooper Kupp, and Boston Scott. You obviously know about Kupp. He's not going to be your kick returner, but he can handle punt return duties for now if Cooper is able to return. But him being a starter, you don't want to put him in that spot for too long for the sake of risking injury and things like that. So there's a chance that he kind of fills in for now until the Rams get a better sense of how long Cooper's going to be out. JoJo Natson and Justin Davis are obviously two guys that the Rams are familiar with. Davis is on the active roster. I was a little bit surprised that he did make the team, but he is on the active roster, so easy transition there if they want to give him a chance. If they do kind of give him a look, it would most likely be with Kupp handling punt return duties and then Davis taking back kicks. He did return kicks in college a few times at USC. Not a whole lot of experience in that regard. I don't think the Rams did give him a chance at that spot during training camp this year or last year. But in college at USC in 2015, he did return, I think it was 11 kicks for 100 and 200 yards. So decent experience, but that was his only season where he did return kicks. So a little bit of a question there if the Rams do go that route. But I think the top guy that they should take a look at is JoJo Natson. He played really well for the Rams in the preseason on kick returns. On punts, he returned 9 of them for 100 yards, which is an average of 11.1 yards per attempt. And then on kick returns, he was even better. He had 14 kickoff returns for 342 yards with a long of 31. He showed a lot of elusiveness and explosiveness on those return duties. He looks like he could be a contributor at the NFL level. He did play for the Jets last season. Didn't have a huge impact, but the Rams obviously felt good enough about him to bring him in and give him a look throughout training camp in the preseason. The only issue with that is the Rams would have to make space for him on the roster, so it would require them to either waive someone or put someone like Mike Thomas or Ferrell Cooper on injured reserve, which would keep him out for at least 8 weeks. If either injury are serious enough to warrant that, then by all means go ahead. There's no sense in keeping two players who specialize on kick and punt returns on the roster if they're not going to be able to play for 5, 6, 7 weeks. You might as well open up a roster spot, put one of them or both of them on injured reserve if the injuries are serious enough, and really bring someone in to replace them on special teams. And then the final guy is Boston Scott. The Rams got a little bit of a look at him in the preseason when the Saints played the Rams. He was waived by New Orleans, a little bit surprising to me. Last week, he was their sixth round pick this year. So he had a 13-yard punt return. He had 7 kickoff returns for 188 yards with a long of 35. So he did show some explosiveness there. But again, the problem with that is since he is a free agent, he can sign with anyone, but the Rams would have to make a move to free up a roster spot. And with him being a running back, not a wide receiver like Natson, you don't really want to keep five running backs on the 53-man roster. That's a lot of players at one position, especially when your top guy, Todd Gurley, is going to be the guy who plays the majority of the snaps. He's not really going to come off the field much. We saw Malcolm Brown only play 4 snaps this week. So the Rams are comfortable giving playing Todd Gurley all game long, giving him 60, 70 snaps, depending on how frequently the offense is out there, and really taking advantage of having him on the team. So carrying five running backs really isn't much of an option. So if they do sign Boston Scott to return kicks, they would most likely have to part ways with either Malcolm Brown or Justin Davis. But with John Kelly being inactive on Monday night, it's kind of unclear how comfortable they are giving him any opportunities behind Gurley, which is a little bit surprising. So those are some of the options that the Rams could go with as far as kickoff and punt returns go. Sean McVay said it'll most likely be resolved soon. So we'll kind of keep an eye on what the Rams do in that regard. On a similar note with regards to injuries, Mark Barron, Sean McVay said on Tuesday, is still kind of questionable moving forward. Not really sure what his status is going to be for Sunday against the Cardinals. He's still battling that Achilles injury that pained him last season towards the end of the year. He underwent shoulder surgery this offseason. He also had a knee and thumb injury that he was dealing with last year. Sean McVay hasn't really talked about whether those injuries are ailing him too, but it seems like it's mostly just that Achilles. But the nature of the injury, the uncertainty with it, the fact that he practiced in the preseason and looked like he was pretty much a lock for week one, and then all of a sudden he doesn't practice all week, that's a little bit concerning. It's something that could possibly linger all season. It doesn't seem to really be an immediate fix for it. Sean McVay said he could be feeling fine for a week, and then he gets a flare-up in his Achilles, and that kind of bothers him and keeps him sidelined. For now, Ramique Wilson is going to fill in for him, and that's fine. That's what the Rams signed him for, is to be that number three linebacker, who can fill in and really take the place of Barron or Littleton if anyone were to get injured. But that's not what the Rams ideally want to do on defense. Barron is a big part of that unit. He's the only returning linebacker from last season. As far as starters go, he's their best coverage guy at the position. But it doesn't seem like he's going to get over this Achilles injury right now. And it's really unclear when that's going to happen, if at all. Don't be surprised if the Rams kind of hold him out for a little while, kind of let Ramique Wilson take over that linebacker spot moving forward and kind of rest Barron for as long as he needs. The fact that he's gone 7 months essentially with this injury and still isn't practicing in a full capacity consistently really raises some eyebrows, because when is that going to happen? If a seven month layoff during the offseason wasn't enough to heal this thing, what makes anyone think that he's going to be able to practice consistently throughout the season and really have a huge contribution this year? I still wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if he comes back and plays well, but the way that McVay is talking, the uncertainty that's surrounding it, really not knowing what's going to happen with his injury, really raises some concerns that the Rams have to think about and possibly look towards someone like Micah Kizer. Wilson obviously is going to fill in. So they might have to kind of face the reality that Barron isn't going to make a huge impact this season, and that's going to have a huge impact on the defense. So maybe some contingency plans coming as far as that goes, but it doesn't look like a great situation right now surrounding Barron. On a little bit of a higher note, Greg Zuerlein was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. He made four of his five field goals, including a 55-yarder from the dirt, the infield dirt on the Raiders Coliseum. By no means is that an easy task, not for your plant foot, not for your kicking foot. So there's nothing easy about making a kick from 55 yards, let alone from an infield on a baseball field turned football stadium. And then he also made kicks of 20 yards, 28 yards, and then another 20-yarder. So he was 4 for 5, missed a 46-yarder from the infield dirt again, which makes his 55-yarder even more impressive, converted all of his PATs, and really looked like his old self. So good to see him back on track after undergoing back surgery and looking like he's fully healthy again. So good for Greg that he won it twice last season, and this is his sixth time overall winning the award. So nice job by Greg Zuerlein and really taking home some more hardware, which should be a case for the Rams throughout this season. Now looking forward to the Cardinals game on Sunday. Like I said, it's going to be at 4:05 Eastern. That's at the Rams Coliseum. So they get their first home opener of the season. Right now they sit at 13-point favorites according to Bovada. That's the biggest spread of the week for any team. And after seeing the Cardinals get blown out by the Redskins 24-6 last week, it's easy to see why the spread is what it is. They don't look like a really good team this season. Sam Bradford was accurate, but he wasn't very good overall for the Cardinals. It could be a matter of time before they go to Josh Rosen if this season does get out of hand. He's obviously their future. They spent a first-round pick on him, so he's waiting in the wings, just waiting to get his opportunity at quarterback, and that could come sooner rather than later if things do kind of spiral out of control for Arizona. As far as that game went, David Johnson only got 9 carries for the Cardinals, which is really unacceptable for a team that doesn't have many playmakers on offense. He carried it 9 times for 37 yards and a touchdown. He did catch 5 passes for 30 yards and was targeted 9 times, but really getting him the ball 14 times in a game where you need as much offense as you can get, it's really surprising to see them go to him so infrequently. Larry Fitzgerald is still there, of course, 10 targets, 7 receptions, 76 yards. He's the guy that the Rams have to worry about most as far as the passing game goes. He's really their only reliable, consistent receiver, so playing in the slot the majority of the time. He does split out wide sometimes, but he'll most likely be lined up in the slot against Dekel Roby Coleman, a tough task for him. Fitzgerald had a good game against the Rams last season, but LA really dominated Arizona in both of their games. So not much concern there with regards to the Cardinals' offense. They only scored 6 points last week. I wouldn't worry too much about the Cardinals upsetting Los Angeles or anything like that. On defense, Arizona, again, is thin on playmakers. It mostly comes down to Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones. Of course, Deon Buchanan is there at middle linebacker. He's a rangy player, can make some plays against the pass and the run, but really their focus is going to be on Chandler Jones, stopping him, and really going away from Patrick Peterson, who is still one of the better cornerbacks in the league. They're going to be able to pick on Jamar Taylor on the other side. Cardinals really lack a strong number 2 cornerback, which hurts them week in and week out. So that's probably going to be the Rams' motive this week, is kind of targeting that number 2 receiver, with Patrick Peterson either locking down Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks on the outside. This should be a much better week for the Rams' defensive line too. The Cardinals' offensive line is really suspect. They have Mason Cole starting, who's a rookie at center, and then a few question marks on the offensive line, especially at tackle. So hopefully a better day from the outside rushers and as well as the inside defenders, Aaron Donald, Dominican Sue. Hopefully they improve a little bit, grab a few sacks of their own, and really get the season going for them on defense. So we'll be previewing that game throughout the week, kind of looking ahead to what the Rams can expect, how they can attack the Cardinals, and really going more in depth with regards to this game throughout the week as we head into Sunday. So that's going to do it for today's Rams Wire podcast. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire. You can follow me at Cam Da Silva. We'll keep you guys locked into the game coming up this Sunday, and get you ready for week 2. Hopefully the Rams come away 2-0, and then we'll talk to you guys next week and kind of recap what happened.